How many of you are happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Come on. I don't know if I have the name right, but what is that? Wilfredo Horton, is it? Where's my brother Wilfredo? Hallelujah. Well, praise God. You know, there's nothing like just good, heartfelt worship. It's just like, you know, the word of the Lord is so true time and time again. All we have to do is just dare to rise up and worship and praise his name, and just awesome things happen. Isn't it great that as we worship the Lord, we become benefactors of his mercies, of his grace, and we will never outpraise him, okay, because we will always give him glory and honor and just declare our heart's feeling, and God just continues to do awesome and mighty things in our midst. I am just so excited to be in the house of the Lord for so many reasons. First and foremost, an opportunity to worship and praise God, to be gathered together with the saints, and celebrating on this very special day, Mother's Day. I am going to take the liberty to have this service today, this time dedicated to honor. God says, give honor where honor is due, and to honor the moms of the house. And I say moms of the house because you don't have to be a biological mom to be considered a mom, to have the traits of a mom, and just to know how God uses each and every single one. I'm speaking to the ladies today in such a way that comes with attributes of what a godly mom is all about. I'm just blessed and I'm thrilled, and it's just a great, great, great experience to just be able to say, Lord, thank you for the gifts that you give us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now, Lord God, and we are ever so grateful for what you do in our midst. We're ever so grateful for the blessings, Lord God, for the way you've orchestrated every aspect of our lives, Lord God, from before we were born, Lord God, unto the day that we are destined in you, O Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, especially for the moms today, O Father God. Father, women, Lord God, that you have called, O Father God, to just have such a special task, O Father, to be given a task by you, Lord God, to help guide and lead the rest of us, Almighty God. Father, thank you, Lord God. Thank you because we celebrate and we continue to declare that they've done a well job. They've done a faithful job, and they've done it unto you, O Father God, and we continue to celebrate your victories in their lives, O Father God. Lord, we ask, Lord, for your blessing today as we first and foremost speak this word on your behalf, O Father God, and also dedicated to the moms, Lord God, and to your people at large. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, and God's children say, amen. Amen. Well, first thing I wanted to mention to you is if you've noticed some kind of a strange little looking signs right where you're at, you're not in somebody else's seat. You're not in somebody else's seat. You are in a seat that was designated for you. And we asked the arts ministry, we commissioned the arts ministry last week to prepare signs to be placed on each and every single seat. And it's a new effort. I believe that the Lord has stirred up in our hearts that we will receive everyone that comes into the doors of this house needs to understand that you're a very important person in the eyes of God. Okay, and therefore, you have the VIP signs, okay? It started off today. We're moving gradually. There are some other signs that have been prepared. There are signs that are not going to be put even as small as cue cards that are going to be given out to people. But this is just to let you know, there is a special seat designated for each and every single person that enters into the thresholds of this house. Team, arts team, excellent. Excellent. Come on, let's hear it up for... And I want you to know that when the arts team was preparing these little seat tags, okay, they were thinking of you. They were thinking of you. What can I do to bless a brother or sister that will come in? So next time that you see somebody that says, well, we plan to go to church soon, let them know there's a VIP seat waiting for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, Michael, do we have access to that slide that we wanted to present? We do? Huh? Okay. We want to present a slide to you. And you know what? Can I get people-like with you for a moment? Can I get child-like with you for a moment? You know, children learn at a very early age that God uses moms to be providers, correct? And when you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you realize you need a quarter or a nickel or 50 cents, you know, what's the first words that come out of your mouth? Mom, can I get 50 cents? Mom, can I get 10 cents? And then there comes a time where you earn your own little bit of money. I'm speaking from my own experience. When you earn your own little bit of money and you tell mom, could you hold on to this money for me? Let's say it's $5. You give it to her on Monday. And on Tuesday you go and says, mom, out of the $5 that I gave you, can you give me a dollar? And your mom gives you a dollar out of the $5. And on Tuesday you go, mom, out of the $5 that I gave you, can you give me $2? I need $2 today. And she gives you $2. So now you got $3. You're supposed to have $2. Okay? And then you let a day go by. And then another day goes by. And then close to Saturday, you come to her and says, mom, remember the $5 I gave you to hold for me? I need those $5 back now. And you know what's beautiful about it? Our moms don't know how to do math, and they'll just give us the whole $5 back, okay? And it's just God's blessing. Well, why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing this with you because, we're ready? I want to share with you, before we go any further, I want to share with you on this Mother's Day something that has to do with the sowing that you guys have done as part of this house. Gail Brown spoke about just dare to rise up and say, you know, if we're going to go someplace, we're willing to go. And even though we have questions, we say we continue to go with the vision of the house. And there's been, for some weeks now, we've been trying to put something together, talking about the new building in the Bronx. And we said, you know, we haven't brought to the church enough information about what's happening with the new building. And today I want to take a few minutes. I'm going to share, like I said, just a brief, because it all ties into the whole concept of the love of God and the passion that God puts in each and every single one of us, not only as moms, but as children and as believers and as people that are connected with the vision that God has for us. And I wanted to present to you the plans, the layouts regarding the new building in the Bronx, okay? We have been in the process. We obtained an architect who many of you may know. He is Pastor Danny and Giselle Bonilla's son-in-law, Danny Martinez. He has come out and he has scouted the place and he has put some sketches together for us that we are now submitting to the city government, to the city ordinances, in order to just go on to the next phase of the building. And I just wanted to show you quickly, there's a lot of things on these blueprints that I don't know anything about. Simply that it's a lot of words on little columns of pages, but it has something to do with Citygate International Church at Throgs Neck Campus. Okay, this is kind of like an image of a design of what it's starting to look like. Those of you that have seen the outside of the building know that it's a very different type of looking building. Okay, and just looking at the building from the outside, it tells you and it screams out one thing: it needs a lot of work. Okay, but God is giving us a layout, a printout, and this is what's happening. So could we just show some quick slides? These are kind of like they're looking at the different levels of the building and the upper part of the building, the lower part of the building. It's amazing. When we saw that space in the basement, it looks so reduced because there's a lot of reconstructive work that has to be done. Yet, the layout that's going to be there is going to be just amazing, even for the younger generation of this house, including some offices and just rearranging a lot of things in the building. Next slide, please. Okay, this is views from the outside, the sanctuary, the side view of the sanctuary. Again, these are layouts. Next slide, please. Okay. Again, this and this has to do also with areas downstairs that's going to be set up. And also, next slide. Can we have the next slide, please? Okay. Again, layout that's being done. You get to see a clearer view now of what the front lobby of that building is going to look like, where people are going to be received. And there's going to be also some finishing touches on the outside surface of the building. Again, as time goes on, you will be getting a better explanation from an architectural point of view, better than what I can give you. But I want to go on to the next slide. Okay. This is perhaps images with colors of what the sanctuary is going to be looking like. This is the outside lobby. You go out there now and you say, look, I'm not quite sure what I was looking at, but you're looking at the inside. This is what the inside of the sanctuary will look like. This is the entrance, the lobby, different views. But if you notice this, the top two pictures on the top, okay? If you take a look at those pictures, first of all, there's ample space being made. There's additional spacing for additional people that will be in agreement with the city regulations. But that part up where the stage is, if you see that wall, I hope I'm pronouncing this correct. We're talking about, that's a digital wall, is that correct? Okay, it's a digital wall. And instead of being concerned about having monitors to reflect the messages and to present PowerPoint and what have you, that's all going to be reflected straight from that entire wall in the back. And we're talking about state-of-the-art graphics that God is going to allow us to have with the sole purpose of ministering to every single person that's coming into that house. So, I'm sorry. These are the plans so far that we have developing that we are going to continue to present to the house. Within the next couple of weeks, we are going to break out into some specialized fundraisers. And these specialized fundraisers, we will need a lot of money to get this taken care of. And I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to say, moms, I need a few bucks. I'm going to come before you, and I just wanted to let you know that there's going to be a fundraising plan where we're going to ask everyone in the house to be involved, okay, for the sole purpose of leaving established the next phase of the plans that God has for City Gate. If you heard the word of the preachers and prophets that have come through this house, people like Lorna Brown, people like Gail Brown, ministering, and just people like Nidia that came in a couple of weeks ago, the word is there's going to be multiple locations. And guess what? You and I will be privileged to be part of those multiple locations. So can we give God a clap praise right now and just give him glory and honor? I want you to start thinking about how you will be instrumental on this layout that has been presented to you on this Mother's Day of 2013. I believe that we will be honoring first and foremost our Heavenly Father and just giving him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And at the same time, I believe that he will lead us to develop structure and design the house that he has set in place for us to do. I'm excited. It's greater when you start having a clearer vision of where God is taking you. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Put your money where your mouth is. No. A picture is worth 1,000 words. And I believe that God is just going to continue to bless us. There's something so special about what God is doing in our midst. And I want you to understand that I believe it was prophetess evangelist Elaine Penn that spoke about how God is pleased with this house because we've dared to honor God. You dare to honor God with your all, with your every being. God is going to continue to do great things in your life. Praise the Lord. Well, today is Mother's Day. And like I said, I wanted to spend some time dedicating a brief exhortation to honor the mothers of the house. And when I think of mothers, and when I think of the women of the house, and when I think of the women in God's kingdom, these special vessels that God has created. Several scriptures come to mind. You think of the Proverbs 31 woman, where it says, a virtuous woman who can find, a virtuous wife who can find. But within that scripture, there's one of the phrases, one of the scriptures, one of the verses that's found in there, speaks about how this woman of God considers the field and purchases it and buys it, okay? And when I look at the qualities of moms, one of the things that they are constantly doing is seeking out what would be best for that which she has to care for, and goes after it and buys it and works it in order to make sure that at the end of the day, those that God has entrusted into her hand are well taken care of. Mothers are so important, so significant. When I think of how important mothers are in the plan of God, how special, what great, great deposit God has in mothers, I can't help it but to think about Jesus ministering from the cross and looking at his own mom there and saying, woman, behold your son. Even though in the natural, I'm not here, but your journey and your task still continues. And there's a deposit and an anointing given from God. Mothers, you have been blessed and anointed with a deposit from God to care for that which God puts in your hands. To care for that which God gives for you to nurture and cultivate. You know, new moms quickly come to the realization and the understanding that their life has changed forever. It's not during the pregnancy, it's immediately after the pregnancy, at the end of the pregnancy, when that cute little one that screams up a storm day in and day out, that has a way of communicating with you that you have to learn quickly. My wife one day preached from this pulpit and she said one of the things she realized immediately after having our first daughter was that they come without instructions. And you quickly have to have the mindset to let God guide you and lead you, to teach you, because you have a big responsibility in your hands and you want to do the best job possible. And those of you that are in the Lord understand that that best job means that you want to do what's best for that child, but you also want to do what's best in the eyes of God. Because there's an unspoken understanding that ultimately we are accountable to God for what we've done with what God has put in our hands. That's why I congratulate the mothers here at City Gate for a job well done, where, yes, education, education is important in your agenda. Feeding and dressing your child is important in your agenda. Teaching your child respects and morals is important in your agenda. Providing for your child's future is important in your agenda. But most importantly, when you come to terms with the fact as to why you're here, a relationship with God is the most important in your agenda. You can give your child everything, and if your child doesn't have a relationship with God, you continue to feel the pain and the ache. But your child could have limitations in so many ways. But if you know that their heart is set on Christ, your agenda is satisfied. And you understand that you've done a great job just by lifting up, raising up a child in the ways of the Lord. The word speaks about that. Raise a child in the ways of the Lord. And when they grow old, what will happen? What will happen? What will happen? So the next time your kid acts out, your teenager acts out, and starts to get all wild and crazy on you, you know what you've done, and just go ahead. Go ahead. Because down the road, you're going to meet that stumbling block. And that stumbling block is going to be the stumbling block that says, back. Back to where you're supposed to be. Mothers, keep praying for your children. Keep lifting up your children and keep holding to heart that which God has called you to do. Raise them up, feed them, nurture them, pamper them, correct them, guide them. Oh, a big important task. But everything that you do in love. I have a scripture that I want to read quickly to you, a very known scripture, but it has everything to do with the call that God has in your life as far as your mothering abilities and your mothering skills. I want the whole house to listen to the scripture, but as you listen to the scripture, I want especially the moms to hold true to the fact that you've taken this to heart, and this verse speaks of you. 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about love, and I want to read that because it applies to the moms that are here. It applies to each and every single one of you. Some of you dance, some of you sing, some of you teach, some of you preach, some of you pray, some of you are deacons, some of you do hospitality, some of you are involved in so many things, some of you simply are just people that guide, some of you are involved in ministries, some of you are involved in work, some of you are involved in so many things. But the one element that moves and exercises in you is the love that God has deposited. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I am proud to say that in this room, we have no clanging cymbals. We have no gongs. We have passionate people trying to be practical, but at the same time have Christ-centered lives. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, and let me tell you something, there are faith in this room that can move mountains. There are faith in this room that have dared to rise up and say, you're not going to die. There are faith that have the enough faith, their lives that have enough faith in this room that have gotten a report from the doctor saying your days are numbered, and you walk out of the room saying, whose report will I believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Well, but it says that if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. The big difference in your life is that you have the love that's exercised by way of God, that God puts in you. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Well, moms, you probably said, God's going to have to work with me on that a little bit. No, you're just perfect just the way you are, okay? Because when you're in Christ, okay, sometimes that little anger has to stir up. That little fire has to stir up because you need to be able to say, I'm going to rise up. See, when the enemy comes against your child, don't take it lightly. When the enemy comes up against your child and tries to rob you from that which is dear to your heart, I give you permission as a pastor from this house. Let that anger come out. Let that holy anger come out and say, Satan, you're not going to mess around with what God has given me. And you know what? I'm going to use the weapon. And see, Satan thinks you're going to pull out a gun. Or he thinks, like us good Puerto Ricans, a switchblade. Satan thinks you're going to pull out a switchblade. I'm not going to put out no gun. I'm not going to put out no switchblade. You know what I'm going to pull out? The Word of God. The double-edged sword. See, every time you confront a situation where someone comes, or Satan, the enemy comes against what God has given to you, true love, pick up the Word of God. Pick up the prayer weapon and begin calling on God. And as a matter of fact, you have full authority to confuse the world out of the enemy, to confuse him so much, speak in a language that he won't even understand. Speak in a language that he won't even understand. Somebody comes and tells you your child and starts just saying how your child is destined to fail, how your child is not going to go anywhere. Somebody comes to tell you that the enemy is going to rob your child of whatever God has given him. Just rise up and say, oh, Rabashataraba, Kiandarabasataraba, Yarabashandare, Yarabashataraba, Kiandar. And you know what? The enemy is going to say, what? And let me tell you something. Don't be afraid sometimes to do it in front of your own kid. Don't be afraid to do it in front of your own kid. Ma, what's wrong with you? Forget about it. Don't worry what's wrong with me, because at the end of this, nothing is going to be wrong with you. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It is one thing you can say about moms. Moms know how to forgive. Moms know how to forgive. And moms forgive and they forget. Moms forgive and they forget. And you know what? One of the things I realized with my own mom, one of the hardest things that moms have is that they can't get up to say to you, I told you so. They just love on you and embrace you the way God loves on each and every single one of us. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there is no prophecy, where there are no prophecies, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things behind me. I wish I could say that all the time. I wish I could say that all the time. There are days that I find myself being a 5-year-old kid all over again. All over again. And it's at that time when I find myself like a 5-year-old kid all over again that you see me in the corner, Mommy! Because we know that somewhere, somehow, in that childish ways that we could be, Mommy will always be there to place a hand on a hurting wound, on a difficult situation. And then we're reminded by that same Mommy, says, doesn't the Word of God say to you? Doesn't the Word of God say to you? One thing that I have to say about my mom, and she's here with us today, one thing that I have to say about her is that she always has a way of smacking sense into me. She always has a way. I could be in the most euphoric state in my mind. I could be elated and excited about something that I'm going to do, a plan that I'm about to carry out, whether it's in my personal life or whether it has to do with the church. And I go to her with that excitement and says, Mommy, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I have this put together. Look at this thing. And I show her the whole schematic of how I'm going to do things. And she says these next few words. Did you pray about it? Did you pray about it? It could be about buying a pair of shoes. It could be about buying a car. It could be about going somewhere. It could be about going on a vacation. Did you pray about it? You know, everything that we do, we have to bring before the Lord first. Smacks some sense right into me. Sometimes in the midst of the situations, in the midst of plans, in the midst of whatever we want to do, we need that Mommy there to remind us where our priorities have to be. That you pray before you leave your house. You don't pray before you leave your house, you already know it. That your day is just not going to go right, but you have to pray. Praying mothers that love us enough to separate themselves from their own doings to make sure that we are well taken care of. Moms that even at a day that we are old enough, grown adults, grown men and women with our own households, even with our own children, if they have to correct us, they will correct us. I have to say this because it was done in a joking way, but it tells you about what the heart of a mother is all about. We're honored to have my nephew, my oldest of the nephews, in the house, Cecilio, Okay, you could just wave. He's Michelle's husband, for those of you that don't. Every so often, we decide we're going to play a little trick on mom and just fool around. But there are just certain things. She'll laugh at things that have to be laughed at, but something that comes to threaten the well-being of a child, she will not take that lightly. My mom was sitting on her little recliner not too long ago in the house, and Cecilio walks into the house. Cecilio's not a smoker. He's not with anything. He takes one of those play cigarettes, one of those the ones that blow like that powdery smoke. He had it in his pocket, and he walks right by my mother. He goes, "Mama," and he puffs on it. And my mother was sitting there like with her head, and she just saw like that little puff. It was like a bionic thing. You know, and he couldn't move fast enough because her hand was just right by his face. "Mama, es un juguete, es un juguete." It's good. "Con eso no se relaja." That was the end of that. That was the end of that. Once learned, twice burnt, right? Well, it's not that my mother has anything against smoking. It's that my mother wants us to take good care of ourselves, to make sure that our bodies are well taken care of. And if I ever have 10 hours to tell you about the number of times that her hand came close to my face, I would share that with you. But that would have to be a different service at a different time for longer hours. Moms do this out of love. Moms are a symbol of respect. Moms are commissioned to build character in each and every single one of us. Moms know that there is faith, that there is hope, and there is love. And they've taken to heart to exercise all of them, but especially the greatest one, which is love. That's why today I felt in my heart to just dedicate this short exhortation about love, because you moms have been an outright symbol of what the love of God is all about. Your experiences may not always have been the most comfortable ones, but at the end of your journey, God says to you, as I've said often, "Well done, faithful servant. You've been faithful in the little. I will put you up by much. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I'm going to ask the mothers to please rise at this point.